were in my hair, running her fingers through the messy, wet strands. Reaching out, I took one delicate satin ribbon between my fingers and pulled, watching it slide off her hip. A look of confusion crossed her face as I continued running my fingers along the lace edge of the other side and did the same. The fabric fell from her body undamaged until she was completely naked before me. I might not have destroyed them, but she could be damn sure I plan to take these pretties with me. She laughed, seeming to read my mind. I guided her back so that she sat on the edge of the bed, and, still kneeling in front of her, I spread her legs. Running my hands down along the silky skin of her calves, I planted kisses along her thighs and between her legs. Her taste slid around my mouth and inside my head, erasing everything else. Fuck, what this woman did to me. Pushing her back to lie across the sheets, I finally moved up to join her, running my lips and tongue along her body, her hands still tangling in my hair, guiding where she wanted me most. I slipped my thumb into her mouth, needing her sucking on me somewhere, needing my own mouth on her breasts, her ribs, her jaw. Her sighs and moans filled the room and mingled with my own. I was harder than I could ever remember being, and I wanted to bury myself in her over and over again. I reached her mouth and dragged my wet thumb across her cheek when she pulled me down to her, every inch of our naked bodies aligned. We kissed frantically, hands seeking and grasping as we tried to get as close as possible. Our hips rocked together, my cock sliding against her soaking heat. Each pass along her clit elicited a moan. With one tiny move, I could be deep inside. And I wanted that more than anything, but I needed to hear something from her first. When she'd said my name downstairs, it had set something off inside me. I didn't understand it yet, didn't know if it meant something I wasn't completely ready to explore, but I knew I needed her to say it, to hear it was me she wanted. I needed to know that for tonight, she was mine. I am fucking dying to be inside you right now, I whispered into her ear. Her breath caught and a deep moan escaped her lips. Is that what you want? Yes, she whimpered, her voice pleading and her hips rocked higher off the bed in search of me. My tip grazed her entrance, and I clenched my jaw, wanting to prolong this. Her heels ran up and down my legs, finally locking around my waist. I took each of her hands and placed them above her head, entwining our fingers. Please, Bennett, she begged. I'm losing my mind. I lowered my head so our foreheads touched, and I finally pushed deep inside her. Oh, fuck, she moaned. Say it again. I was becoming breathless as I began to move in and out of her. Bennett, fuck. I wanted to hear it again and again. I pulled myself up on my knees and began thrusting into her more steadily, both of our hands still entwined. I can't get enough of this. I was getting close and I needed to hold out. I'd been away from her too long, and nothing I'd fantasized about while she was away compared to this. I want you like this every day, I growled against her damp skin. Like this, and bent over my desk, on your knees, sucking my dick. Why? She hissed between clenched teeth. Why do I love it when you talk to me like that? You're such a prick. I lowered myself onto her again, laughing into her neck. We moved together effortlessly, sweat-slicked skin sliding against skin. With each thrust, she raised her hips to meet me, her legs around my waist pulling me deeper. I was so lost in her that time seemed to stop. Our hands were still tightly clasped above her head, and she began gripping tighter. She was getting close, her cries becoming louder and my name leaving her lips over and over, pushing me closer to the edge. Give it up. My voice was ragged with the desperation I felt. I was so close, but I wanted to wait for her. Let go, Chloe. Come all over me. Oh, God, Bennett, she moaned, Say something else.
Fuck. My girl got off on dirty talk.
Please.
You're so fucking slippery and hot. When you get close, I panted, your skin flushes everywhere and your voice gets hoarse, and there is nothing more fucking perfect than your face when you come. She squeezed me harder with her legs, and I felt her breath hitch, felt her tighten around me. Your fucking bee-stung lips go all soft and open when you pant for me, your eyes begging me to make it good, and fuck, nothing is better than the sound you make when you're finally there. That was all it took. I deepened my strokes, lifting her off the bed with every thrust. I was teetering on the edge now, and when she cried out my name, I couldn't hold back any longer. She muffled her screams against my neck as I felt her let go, clenching wildly beneath me. Nothing in the world felt as good as this, letting the rush build inside and crash over us, together, and I let go too. Afterward, I moved my face close to hers, our noses touching, breath coming out hard and fast. My mouth was dry, my muscles ached, and I was exhausted. I loosened her grip on my hands and rubbed her fingers gently, trying to bring some of the circulation back. "Holy shit," I said. Everything felt different, but completely undefined. Rolling off her, I closed my eyes, trying to block out the tangle of thoughts. Beside me, she shivered.
"Cold?"
I asked. "No," she answered, shaking her head. "Just really overwhelmed." I pulled her to me and reached down, dragging the blankets over us. I didn't want to leave, but I wasn't sure if I was welcome to stay either.
"Me too."
The silence stretched between us, as did the minutes, and I wondered if she'd fallen asleep. I shifted slightly and was surprised to hear her voice.
"Don't go,"
she said into the darkness. I bent, kissed the top of her head, and inhaled her sweet, familiar scent.
"I'm not going anywhere." Fuck, that felt good. Something warm and wet enveloped my dick again, and I groaned loudly. Best dream ever.
Dream Chloe moaned, sending a vibration along my dick and straight through me.
Chloe.
I heard my own voice and jerked slightly. I'd dreamed of her hundreds of times, but this seemed so real. The warmth disappeared and I frowned.
"Don't wake up, Ben. Don't fucking wake up from this."
"Say it again."
A soft, throaty voice broke into my consciousness and I forced myself to open my eyes. The room was dark and I was lying in a strange bed. The warmth was back and my eyes flew to my lap, where a beautiful dark head of hair moved between my open legs. She sucked my cock back into her mouth. In a rush, the entire night came back to me, the haze of sleep rapidly disappearing.
"Chloe?"
There was no way I could be lucky enough for this to be real. She must have gotten up sometime in the night to shut off the bathroom light. The room was so dark I could barely make her out. My hands drifted out to find her, my fingers tracing her lips around my cock. She bobbed her mouth up and down on me, her tongue swirling and her teeth raking lightly against my shaft with each movement. Her hand slipped to my balls and I moaned loudly as she rolled them gently in her palm. The feeling was so intense, the realization of my dreams and reality coming together, that I didn't know how long I could last. She moved slightly, her finger lightly rubbing a spot just below, and a long hiss escaped my clenched teeth. No one had ever done that to me. I almost wanted to stop her, but the feeling was so incredible I was helpless to move. While my eyes adjusted to the light, I ran my fingers through her hair and across her face and jaw. She closed her eyes and increased the suction, bringing me closer and closer to the edge. The combination of her mouth on my dick
and her finger pressing against me was unreal. But I wanted her up with me, that mouth on my mouth, sucking my lips while I buried myself in her. Sitting up, I pulled her into my lap, wrapping her legs around my hips, our naked chests pressed together. I took her face in my hands, looking into her eyes.
That is the best wake-up call I've ever gotten.
She laughed a little, licking her lips to a delicious shine. Reaching down, I placed my cock at her entrance and lifted her slightly. In one smooth motion, I was deep inside her. Her forehead fell to my shoulder and she rocked her hips forward, taking me further inside. Being with her in a bed was unreal. She was leisurely riding me, grinding in tiny movements. She kissed along every inch of the right side of my neck, sucking and pulling at my skin. Short utterances punctuated every circuit of her hips.
"Like being on top of you," she breathed. "Feel how deep you are. Feel that?"
"Yeah."
"Want faster?"
I shook my head, absolutely lost.
"No, God, no."
For a while she stayed slow, tiny circles, teeth all up and down my neck. But then she shifted closer, whispering,
"I'm gonna come, Bennett."
And instead of releasing a string of curse words to describe what hearing that did to me, I bit her shoulder, sucked a bruise into her skin. Working me harder now, she began to talk. Words I could barely process. Words about my body inside her, her need for me. Words about my taste and how wet she was. Words about wanting me to come, needing me to come. With each swivel of her hips, the pressure began to build. I gripped her tighter, fearing briefly that I would leave bruises every time I moved my hands and quickened my thrusts. She moaned and writhed above me, and just when I thought I couldn't hold out any more, she called my name again, and I felt her begin to spasm around me. The intensity of her orgasm brought on my own, and I moved my face to her neck, pressing a loud groan into her skin. She collapsed against me, and I lowered us both to the bed. We were sweaty and panting and utterly exhausted, and she looked fucking perfect. I pulled her to me, her back pressed against my chest, and wrapped my arms around her, entangling my legs with hers. She mumbled something I couldn't make out, but was asleep before I could ask her. Something had shifted tonight, and my last thought as my eyes closed was that there would be plenty of time to talk tomorrow. But as the early morning sunlight began to creep under the dark curtain, I realized with an uneasy feeling that tomorrow was already here. XIV. Consciousness fluttered on the edge of my sleep-filled mind, and I tried to force it away. I didn't want to wake up. I was warm and comfortable and content. Vague visions of my dream passed behind my closed eyes as I snuggled into the warmest, best-smelling blanket I'd ever slept in. It snuggled back. Something warm pressed against me, and my eyes fluttered open to see a head of familiar messy hair inches from my face. 100 images flashed through my mind in that second as the reality of last night came crashing down on my muddled brain. Holy shit! It was real. My heart rate quickened as I lifted my head slightly to see the beautiful man wrapped around me. His head lay on my chest, his perfect mouth parted slightly, releasing puffs of warm air across my bare breasts. His long body lay flush against mine, our legs tangled together, and his strong arms wrapped tightly around my torso. He stayed. The intimacy of our position hit with a crushing force that actually took my breath away. He didn't just stay. He clung to me. I struggled to find my breath and not panic. I was keenly aware of each inch of where our skin touched. I felt the powerful thump of his heartbeat against my chest. His cock was pressed against my thigh, semi-hard in his sleep. My fingers burned to touch him. My lips ached to press against his hair. It was too much. He was too much. Something changed last night, and I wasn't sure I was ready to deal with it. I didn't know what that change entailed, but it was there. In every move, every touch, every word, and every kiss, we had been together. Nobody had ever made me feel that way, as if my body were made to fit his. I'd been with other men, but with him I felt as if I was being carried away by a hidden undertow, completely unable to change the course. I closed my eyes, trying to quell the sense of panic that was building. I didn't regret what happened. It was, as always, intense and easily the best sex I'd ever had. I just needed a few minutes alone before I could face him. Placing one hand into his hair and the other on his back, I managed to roll him off me. He began to stir and I froze, holding him close and silently willing him to go back to sleep. He mumbled my name before his breath evened out again and I slipped out from underneath him. I watched him sleep for a moment, the panic receding somewhat, and was once again struck by just how gorgeous he was. Stilled by sleep, his features were tranquil and peaceful, and so very different from any expression he ever wore around me. A thick curl had fallen down across his forehead, and my fingers itched to brush it back. Long lashes, perfect cheekbones, full pouty lips, and a stubble-covered jaw. Christ on a cracker, he's pretty. I started to make my way to the bathroom, but caught my reflection in the mirror over the bedroom vanity. Wow. Freshly fucked. That was definitely how I looked. Leaning in, I examined the small red scrapes that were scattered along my neck, shoulders, breasts, and stomach. A small bite mark was visible on the underside of my left breast, a hickey on my shoulder. Glancing down, I ran my fingers along the red marks on my inner thigh. My nipples hardened as I recalled the feeling of his unshaven face brushing along my skin. My hair was a wild and tangled mess, and I bit my lip as I remembered his hands twisted in it, the way he pulled me first into his kiss and then onto his cock. Not helping. I was jolted out of my thoughts by a voice thick with sleep.
Awake and freaking out already?
Turning, I caught a glimpse of his naked body as he twisted in the sheets and sat up, before pulling them over his hips and leaving his torso bare. I didn't think I would ever get tired of looking at and feeling his broad muscular chest, washboard abs, and tantalizing happy trail that led to the most gloriously hung man ever seen. When my eyes finally reached his face, I scowled at his lopsided grin.
"Caught you looking," he murmured, rubbing a hand over his jaw.
I wasn't sure whether to smile or roll my eyes. Seeing him rumpled and vulnerable in his half-awake state was disorienting. We never bothered to close the heaviest drapes last night, and now sunlight streamed in, blindingly bright against the tangle of white linens. He looked so different. Still my asshole boss, but also someone else now. A man, in my bed, looking like he was ready for round 4? 5? I couldn't keep track. And as his eyes raked over every inch of me, I remembered that I, too, was completely naked. In this moment, his expression was as intense as his touch. I briefly wondered if he continued to look at me like that, would my skin ignite? Would I feel his touch on my flesh the same as when he put his hands on me? I fixed my expression into something I hoped camouflaged that I was mentally cataloging every inch of his skin, and bent over to retrieve his white undershirt off the floor. It had been in front of the air conditioner all night and was a little cold, but thankfully mostly dry. When I slipped the soft cotton over my head, I inhaled the sagey scent of his skin, and then emerged, catching his dark stare. His tongue darted out to wet his lips.
"Come here," he growled quietly.
I moved to the bed,
intending to sit beside him, but he pulled me so I straddled his thighs and said, "Tell me what you're thinking."
He wanted me to condense a million thoughts into a single sentence? The man was insane. So I opened my mouth and let the first thought out. "You said you haven't been with anyone since we were first... together." I stared at his collarbone so I wouldn't have to look him in the eye. "Is that true?" Finally, I looked up. He nodded and slipped his fingers beneath the undershirt, running his hands slowly from my hips to my waist. "Why?" I asked. He closed his eyes, shook his head once.
"I haven't wanted anyone else."
I wasn't sure how to interpret that. Did he mean he hadn't met anyone he wanted but was open to it?
"Are you usually monogamous if you're sleeping with someone?"
He shrugged.
"If that's the expectation."
Bennett kissed along my shoulder, to my collarbone and up my neck. I reached around him, grabbing the complimentary bottle of water on the nightstand and taking a sip before handing it to him. He finished it in a few long swallows.
"Thirsty?" "I was. Feeling a little hungry now."
"Not surprising. We haven't eaten in, like..." I stopped as he wiggled his eyebrows and grinned. I rolled my eyes, but they fell closed as he leaned forward and kissed me once, sweetly on the lips.
"Is monogamy the expectation here?" I asked.
"After what happened last night, I think you need to tell me."
I didn't know how to answer that. I wasn't even sure I could be with him like this, let alone be monogamous about it. The idea of how that would work made my head spin. Would we actually be friendly? Would he say good morning and mean it? Would he feel safe criticizing my work?
He spread his fingers over my lower back, pressing me into his side and pulling me out of my rambling thoughts. "Never take this off," he whispered.
"Deal." I leaned back to give his mouth better access to my throat. "I'll wear this and nothing else down to the poster session this morning."
His laugh was low and playful. "Like hell you will."
"What time is it?" I asked, trying to see behind him to the clock.
"Don't give a shit."
His fingertips found my breast and slipped back and forth over the soft underside. But in the process of leaning away from him, I'd exposed the skin just above his hip. What the hell? Was that a tattoo? What is... I could barely form the words. Pushing him away slightly, I looked up to meet his eyes before returning them to the mark. Right below his hip bone was a string of black ink, words written in what I guessed was French. How the hell had I missed that? I thought back briefly to all the times we'd been together. We'd always been rushed, or in the dark, or in only a state of semi-undress.
"It's a tattoo," he said, bemused, pulling back a bit and trailing his fingers over my navel.
"I know it's a tattoo, but what does it say?"
Mr. Serious Business had a fucking tattoo. Another piece of the man I thought I knew fell away.
"It says, je ne regrette rien."
My eyes flew to his, my blood heating at the sound of his voice dissolving into a perfect French accent.
"What did you say?"
He definitely smirked.
"Je ne regrette rien."
He spoke each word slowly, emphasizing every syllable. It had to be the sexiest fucking thing I'd ever heard. Between that and the tattoo and the fact that he was completely naked under me, I was going to spontaneously combust.
"Isn't that a song?"
He nodded.
"It's a song, yes."
Laughing quietly, he said,
"You might think I'd regret that one drunken night in Paris, thousands of miles from home, without a single friend in the city. I decided to go get a tattoo. But no, I don't even regret that."
"Say it again," I whispered.
He moved closer, hips rolling against mine, his breath hot in my ear, and whispered it again.
Je ne regrette rien. Do you understand?
I nodded. Say something else. My breasts were heaving with each labored breath, my sensitive nipples grazing against the cotton of his shirt. Bending slightly, he kissed my ear, saying,
Je suis à toi.
His voice was strained and gravelly as he held himself up for me, and I put us both out of our misery, sinking down over him with a groan and loving the depth of this position again. He whispered a single profane syllable over and over, staring up at me. Instead of clutching my hips, his hands fisted the shirt at my sides. It was so easy, so natural between us that it somehow just added to the space of uneasiness that I couldn't seem to shake. Instead of focusing on that, I focused on his quiet grunts into my mouth. I focused on the way he sat us up abruptly and sucked on my breasts through his shirt, exposing the pink beneath. I got lost in his urgent fingers on my hips and thighs, his forehead pressed to my collarbone as he got closer. I got lost in the feel of his thighs under me, his hips moving faster and harder to meet every one of my movements. Flipping me over, he spread his hand flat on my chest, hips stilling.
Your heart is pounding. Tell me how fucking good this feels.
Instinctively, I relaxed when I looked up at his cocky grin. Did he know I needed some reminder of who we'd been less than a day ago? You're doing that talking thing again. Stop. His smile widened.
You love my talking. You especially love it when it coincides with my dick being in you.
I rolled my eyes. What gave that away? The orgasms? The way I ask you for it? Good sleuthing. He winked, pulling my foot up to his shoulder and kissing the inside of my ankle. Have you always been this way? I asked, tugging uselessly on his hips. I hated to admit it, but I wanted him moving. When he was still, it teased. It was sore. It felt incomplete. When he moved, I just wanted time to freeze. I pity the females whose discarded egos litter the path. Bennett shook his head, leaning over me and propping himself up on his hands. Mercifully, he started moving, hips shifting forward and up, pushing deep into me. My eyes rolled closed. He hit the perfect spot again and again and again.
Look at me, he whispered.
I looked up, watched the sweat bead on his brow, his lips part as he stared at my mouth. Shoulder muscles bunched as he moved. His torso shone with a thin layer of sweat, and I watched where he moved in and out of me. I'm not sure what I said when he pulled almost all the way out and then pushed hard back into me, but it was quiet and filthy and instantly forgotten as he pounded into me.
You make me feel cocky. It's the way you react to me that makes me feel like a fucking god. How can you not see that?
I didn't answer, and clearly he didn't expect me to. His gaze and the fingers of one hand drifting down my neck and over my breasts. He found a particularly sensitive spot, and I gasped.
It looks like someone bit you here, he said, his thumb sweeping across his bite mark. Did you like it?
I swallowed, pushing up into him.
Yes. Fucking wicked girl.
My hands slid over his shoulders and down his chest, across his abs and to the muscles of his hips, my thumb running back and forth over his tattoo.
I like this, too.
His movements grew jagged and forceful.
Oh, fuck. Chloe, I can't. I won't last long.
Hearing his voice so desperate and out of control only intensified my need for him. I closed my eyes, focusing on the delicious feeling beginning to spread throughout my body. I was so close, teetering right on the edge. Reaching between us, my fingers found my clit and I began to rub it slowly. Tilting his head, he looked down at my hand and swore.
Oh, fuck.
His voice was desperate, his breath coming out in deep pants.
Touch yourself. Just like that. Let me fucking see you.
His words were all I needed, and with one last brush of my fingers, I felt my orgasm overtake me. I came hard, clenching around him, the nails of my free hand digging into his back. He cried out, his body seizing as he came inside me. My whole body shook in the aftermath, tiny tremors continuing even as my orgasm faded. I clung to him as he stilled, his body sinking against mine. He kissed my shoulder and my neck before placing a single kiss to my lips. Our eyes met briefly, and then he rolled off me.
"Christ, woman," he said, exhaling a heavy breath, forcing a laugh. "You're going to kill me."
We rolled to our sides in unison, heads on our pillows, and when our eyes met, I couldn't look away. I lost every hope I ever had that the next time would be less powerful, or that our connection would somehow melt away if we just got it out of our systems. This one night with a truce didn't dim anything. I already wanted to move closer, kiss the stubble on his jaw, and pull him back over me. As I gazed at him, it became clear to me that when this ended, it would fucking hurt. Fear gripped my heart, and the panic from last night returned, bringing an uncomfortable silence with it. I sat up, pulling the sheets with me and up to my chin. Oh, shit. His hand shot out, wrapping around my arm.
Chloe, I can't.
We probably need to get ready, I interrupted before he finished that sentence. It could be the beginning of a million forms of heartbreak. We have a poster session in 20 minutes. He looked confused for a moment before speaking.
I don't have any dry clothes in here. I don't even know where my room is.
I fought a blush as I remembered how quickly everything had happened last night. Right. I'll use your key to go get you something. I showered quickly and wrapped a thick towel around myself, wishing that I would have had the sense to bring one of the hotel bathrobes in here with me. With a deep breath, I opened the door and stepped out. He was sitting on the bed, and his eyes rose to meet mine as I entered the room. I just need... I trailed off, motioning to my bag. He nodded, but made no move to speak. I was usually never self-conscious about my body, but standing here in nothing but a towel, knowing that he was watching me, I felt uncharacteristically shy. I grabbed a few things and rushed by him, not stopping until I was once again safely behind the bathroom door. I dressed faster than I thought possible, deciding I would pull my hair back and finish the rest later. Grabbing the key cards from the counter, I returned to the bedroom. He hadn't moved. Sitting on the edge of the bed with his elbows resting on his thighs, he appeared lost in thought. What was he thinking? All morning I'd been a nervous wreck, my emotions shifting wildly from one extreme to the other. But he seemed so calm. So sure. But what was he sure of? What had he decided? Do you have anything in particular you want me to bring you? When he lifted his head, he looked slightly surprised, as if the thought hadn't occurred to him.
I just have a few meetings this afternoon, right?
I nodded.
Whatever you pick will be fine.
It only took me a second to locate his room. It was right next door. Great. Now I could imagine him in a bed just through the wall from mine. His bags were already there, and I paused briefly, realizing I would have to go through his luggage. Lifting the largest one and placing it on the bed, I opened it. His scent hit me and caused a heavy pang of desire to wash through me. I began looking through the neatly packed items. Everything about him was so tidy and organized, and it made me wonder what his home looked like. I'd never thought about it much, but I suddenly wondered if I would ever see it, if I would ever see his bed. I paused as I realized that I wanted to. Would he want me to?
It struck me that I was stalling, and I continued searching through his clothes before finally settling on a charcoal helmet Lang suit, white dress shirt, black silk tie, boxers, socks, and shoes.
Putting everything back where it belonged, I gathered up his clothing and headed for my room. I was unable to stifle my nervous laughter as I walked into the hall, shaking my head over the sheer absurdity of the situation. Thankfully, I managed to compose myself as I reached my door. I made it 2 steps inside before I froze. He stood in front of the open window, awash in morning sunlight. Each beautiful line of his chiseled form was accentuated in perfect detail by the shadows cast across his body. A towel hung indecently low on his hips, and there, poking out just above it, was the tattoo.
"See something you like?"
I reluctantly returned my attention to his face. My eyes drifted back down to his hip as if pulled by a magnet.
"I said, did you see something you like?"
He crossed the room, stopping just in front of me. "I heard you," I said, glaring. "And no, just lost in thought."
"And what exactly were you thinking?"
He reached out, moving a piece of my damp hair behind my ear. Just that simple touch caused my stomach to jump. "That we have a schedule to keep." He moved a step closer.
"Why don't I believe you?"
"Because you're self-absorbed," I suggested, meeting his gaze. He quirked an eyebrow and watched me for a moment before taking his clothing from my hands and placing it on the bed. Before I could move, he pulled the towel from his hips and tossed it to the side.
"Sweet mother of God,
if there was a finer specimen of man on this earth, I'd pay big money to see it." Picking up his boxers, he began to step into them before he stopped, looking at me.
"Didn't you just say we had a schedule to keep?"
he questioned, eyeing me humorously.
"Unless, of course, you see something you like." Son of a...
I narrowed my eyes and turned quickly, returning to the bathroom to finish getting ready. As I dried my hair, I couldn't get past the unsettling feeling that he was trying to say something more important than, "Look at my naked body some more." Before I could even untangle my own emotions, I was trying to guess at his. Was I worried he would want to leave or stay? When I returned to the bedroom, he was already dressed and waiting, looking out the large window. He turned, walked to me, and placed his warm hands on my face, staring at me intently.
"I need you to listen to me."
I swallowed.
"Okay." "I don't want to walk out that door and lose what we found in this room."
His simple words rocked me. He wasn't declaring, he wasn't promising, but he said exactly what I'd needed to hear. We might not know what was happening, but we wouldn't leave it unfinished. Letting out a shaky breath, I brought my hands to his chest. "I don't either, but I also don't want your career to swallow mine."
"I don't want that either."
I nodded, feeling like words tangled my thoughts and I was unable to think of anything articulate to add.
"Okay then," he said, looking me up and down. "Let's go."
XV. The theme of the conference this year was the next generation of marketing strategy, and as a way to embrace the new generation, the organizers had scheduled a poster session for students getting their degrees. Most students from Chloe's program were here, standing straight and eager beside their poster boards. In fact, presentation at this venue was considered a requirement for Chloe's scholarship, but I had applied for an exception for her, given the size and confidential nature of the Papadakis account, her primary project. No other student here was managing a $1 million deal. The scholarship board had been happy to grant the exception, practically drooling over the prospect of putting Chloe's success story in their program brochure once the design was completed, signed, and released publicly. But, although she had no presentation at the meeting, she insisted on walking through every aisle and looking at every poster. Given that I was apparently incapable of being more than 4 fucking feet away from her, and didn't have a meeting until 10, I followed her around the entire time, counting posters, 576, and staring at her ass, perky, fun to spank, currently wrapped in black wool. She'd mentioned in the elevator that her best friend Julia provided a majority of the wardrobe I loved/hated. This morning's selection of a fitted pencil skirt and deep blue blouse was now also on my list. I tried a couple of times to convince Chloe that we needed to go back to the room to get something, but she'd only raised an eyebrow and asked, "Get something or get some?" I'd ignored her, but now I wished I'd admitted I needed one more round before conferencing. I wondered if she'd have gone for it. "Would you have gone back to the room?" I asked into her ear as she carefully read an undergraduate poster on a rebranding idea for some small cellular company. Graphs were taped to the poster board, for crying out loud. "Shh. Chloe, you're not going to learn anything from this poster. Let's go get a cup of coffee, and maybe a blowjob in the bathroom." "Your father told me it was impossible to predict where I'd get my best ideas, and to read everything I could find. Besides, these are my student colleagues." I waited, toying with a cufflink, but she apparently wasn't going to address the latter part of what I'd said.
"My dad doesn't know what he's talking about."
She laughed, appropriately. Dad had been on every top 25 list of CEOs practically since before I was born.
"It doesn't have to be a blowjob. I could fuck you against a wall," I whispered, clearing my throat and looking around to be sure no one was near enough to hear. "Or I could lay you down on the floor, spread you wide, and make you come against my tongue."
She shivered, smiled at the student near the next poster, and walked closer to read it. The man held his hand out to me. "Excuse me, but are you Bennett Ryan?" I nodded, distracted as I shook his hand, watching Chloe move farther away. The aisle we were in was practically deserted, but for the students standing near the posters. Even they had begun to wander off to more interesting areas of the room, where larger companies, conference sponsors mostly, had put together shiny, trademark-filled posters in the interest of getting the inaugural student-led session off the ground successfully. Chloe bent and wrote something on her notepad. "Rebranding for Jenkins Financial?" I stared at her hand and then up at her face, fixed in a thoughtful expression. The Jenkins Financial account wasn't one of hers. It wasn't even one I handled. It was a small account, occasionally half-ass managed by one of the junior executives. Did she actually know how much it was struggling with the dinosaur marketing campaign we had? Before I could ask, she turned and moved on to the next poster, and I was mesmerized with Chloe at work. I'd never let myself watch her so openly. The surreptitious stalking I had done only told me she was brilliant and driven, but I never realized the breadth of her company knowledge before. I wanted to compliment her somehow, but the words got tangled in my head and a strange defensiveness surged in my chest, as if to praise her work would somehow break strategy.
"Your penmanship has improved."
She smiled up at me, clicking the end of her pen.
"Fuck off."
My dick twitched in my pants.
"You're wasting my time here."
"Then why don't you go glad hand some executives over in the reception hall? They have breakfast there, those little chocolate muffins you pretend not to like."
"Because it's not what I feel like eating."
A small grin pulled at her lips. She watched my face as another student introduced herself to me.
"I've followed your career ever since I can remember," the woman said, breathless. "I heard you speak here last year."
I smiled, shook her hand as briefly as I could without appearing rude.
"Thanks for saying hello."
We moved to the end of the aisle, and I wrapped my hand around Chloe's elbow.
"I have one more hour until I have a meeting. Do you have any idea what you do to me?"
Finally, she looked up. Her pupils were so large her eyes turned nearly black, and she licked her lips into a wet, decadent pout.
"I suppose I need you to take me upstairs so you can show me."
Chloe was still looking for a new pair of panties when I was already 5 minutes late to my 1 o'clock.
It was with Ed Gugliotti, a marketing executive for a smaller Minneapolis firm. We used Ed's firm to subcontract smaller jobs and had a more significant project we were thinking of passing off to him to see how they handled it. As I zipped my pants, I reminded myself that Ed was himself pathologically late. Except this time he wasn't. He was already waiting for me in one of the hotel meeting rooms, two of his junior people sitting beside him, eager smiles in place. I hated being late. "Ed," I said, greeting him with a handshake. He introduced me to his team, Daniel and Sam. They shook my hand in turn, but by the time I got to Sam, his attention was behind me at the door. Chloe had walked in, hair down now, looking wildly beautiful but professional, miraculously hiding the fact that she'd just had a screaming orgasm atop the desk in her hotel room. Gugliotti and his men watched in rapt silence as she walked over, pulled out a chair, and sat down beside me, turning to give me a small smile. Her lips were red and swollen, and a faint red mark bloomed on her jaw. Stubble burn. Too right. I cleared my throat until everyone finally looked back at me. Let's get started. It was a simple meeting, and the kind of thing I'd done 1,000 times. I described the account in the most general, non-confidential terms, and of course Gugliotti told me he thought his team could come up with something great. After meeting the men he'd assigned to it, I agreed. We planned to meet again the following day, when I would present the account in its entirety and officially hand it over. The meeting was over in less than 15 minutes, giving me time before my 2 o'clock. I looked over at Chloe and raised an eyebrow in silent question. "Food," she said with a laugh. "Let's get some food." The rest of the afternoon had been productive, but I'd been entirely on autopilot, and if someone had asked me specifics about the meetings, it would have taken me a good long time to remember any details. Thank God for Chloe and her obsessive note-taking. I'd been approached by many colleagues, had likely clasped 100 hands over the afternoon, but the only touch I remembered was hers. She distracted me endlessly, and what bothered me was that it was different here than usual. It was work, but it was a completely new world, one where we could pretend our circumstances were whatever we wanted them to be. The itch to be near her was even greater than it was when I had to keep my distance. Looking back to the evening keynote speaker at the podium, I tried unsuccessfully once again to redirect my thoughts to something productive. I was sitting up front. I had given the keynote last year at this very conference, and yet I somehow couldn't find a way to engage. I saw her shift in my peripheral vision, and instinctively I looked across the table at her. When our eyes met, every other sound blended together, floating around me but never breaking into my consciousness. Without thinking, I leaned toward her, she leaned toward me, and a tiny grin flickered across her mouth. I thought about this morning, and how transparent she'd been in her panic. By contrast, I'd felt strangely calm, as if everything we'd done had been leading to that precise moment when we could both see how easy it was just to be. A cell phone ringing somewhere behind me broke me from my trance, causing me to look away. Quickly sitting back in my chair, I was shocked to see how far forward I'd actually been leaning. I looked around and stopped dead as a pair of unfamiliar eyes met mine. This stranger had no idea who we were, or that Chloe worked for me. He'd only glanced at us and quickly looked away. But in that moment, every bit of guilt I'd been suppressing hit me. Everyone knew who I was. No one here knew her. And if it ever got out that we were fucking, the judgment of an entire community would follow her around for the rest of her career. A quick glance back at Chloe told me she could see panic written all over my face. I spent the rest of the lecture staring forward, not giving her another glance. "Are you okay?" she asked in the elevator, breaking the heavy silence that had accompanied us for 14 floors. "Yeah, just..." I scratched the back of my neck and avoided her eyes. "Just thinking." "I'm going out with some friends tonight." That sounds like a good idea.
You have dinner with Stevenson and Newberry at 7. I think they're meeting you at that sushi place you like in the gas lamp.
I know, I said, relaxing as we fell into the familiar details of work. What's their assistant's name again? She always comes.
Andrew.
I looked over at her, confused. That's a touch manlier than I was expecting.
They have a new assistant.
How on earth did she know that? She smiled.
He was sitting next to me at the keynote and asked if I'd be at the dinner tonight.
I wondered if his was the pair of unfamiliar eyes that caught me staring at Chloe, and he asked because of the way I looked at her. I stuttered out a few sounds before she interrupted me.
I told him I had other plans.
My unease returned. I wanted her with me tonight, and soon she wouldn't be my intern anymore. Could I be her lover then? Could I still be her boss now? Did you want to come? She shook her head, looking up at the doors as we reached the 30th floor.
I think I should probably go do my own thing.
The short drive back from the restaurant was quiet and lonely, with only my jumbled thoughts to keep me company. I made my way through the large lobby to the elevator and robotically moved to Chloe's room before remembering I wasn't actually staying with her. I couldn't remember which room was mine, and tried 3 on the floor before giving up and checking back in at the reception desk. When I returned, I realized my room was just next to hers. It was a mirror image of her room, but completely different in all of the ways that couldn't be seen. This shower hadn't washed away our pretenses last night. We hadn't slept together, curled around each other in this bed. These walls hadn't been filled with the sounds of her coming apart beneath me. This desk wasn't broken from a late-morning quickie. I checked my phone and saw that I had 2 missed calls from my brother. Great. Normally, I would have already spoken to my father and brother several times, telling them about meetings or potential clients I'd met. So far, I hadn't talked to either of them once. I'd been afraid they would see right through me and know that my head was not in the game this week. It was after 11, and I wondered if she was still with her friends, or was she back already? Maybe she was lying there awake, obsessing about all of the same things I was. Without thinking, I reached for the phone and dialed her room. It rang 4 times before a generic voicemail answered. I hung up and tried her cell. She answered on the first ring.
Mr. Ryan?
I winced. She was with other students. Of course, she wouldn't call me Bennett now. Hi, I was just making sure you had a way to get back to the hotel. Her laugh came through the line, muted by the sound of voices and the pulsing of loud music all around her.
There are about 70 cabs waiting outside. I'll just grab one of those when we're done.
When will that be? When Melissa finishes this drink, and probably another, and when Kim decides she's done dancing with every filthy man whore here. So you can expect me back sometime between now and tomorrow morning at 8. Are you being a wise ass? I asked, feeling a grin spread across my face.
Yes.
Fine, I said, exhaling heavily. Just text me when you get back safe. She was quiet for a beat and then said,
I will.
I hung up and dropped my phone on the bed beside me, staring at the floor for probably an hour. I didn't even know what to do with myself. Finally, I got up and walked back downstairs. I was still in the lobby when she came back at 2 in the morning, cheeks bright and smile firmly in place as she dropped her phone into her purse. My phone buzzed in my hand and I glanced down. I'm back safe. I watched her walk past the reception desk and directly toward where I sat near the bank of elevators. She stopped when she saw me, bleary-eyed in my rumpled suit. I was sure my hair was a fucking joke because I'd been worried sick. I suddenly had no idea what I was doing waiting for her like an anxious spouse. I only knew I couldn't be the one to decide we wouldn't work, because deep down, I wanted to figure it out.
Bennett, she said, glancing at her friend who waved and walked to the elevator. I didn't give a damn what the friend was thinking, but I could feel her stare on us until she got into the elevator. Chloe was wearing a tiny black dress and heels I wanted to petition become a uniform until her internship ended. Thin straps crisscrossed all the way from her pink-painted toes midway up her shins. I wanted to peel the dress from her body and fuck her into the couch, gripping those heels for leverage. Hey, I mumbled, mesmerized by the miles and miles of bare leg in front of me. She walked closer, stopping just a few inches away. What are you doing down here?
Waiting.
I struggled to hide how she affected me, how my present thoughts could barely be torn from the fantasy of my fists in her hair, the way my thumbs could completely cover her small pink nipples, or how her clit was the softest part of any body I'd ever touched. I wanted to taste her from her toes to her earlobes, telling her every thought I had on the way. Are you drunk?
I shook my head. Not the way you mean.
Someone saw me looking at you earlier. I know. She reached up, ran her fingers through my hair. At the keynote, I saw your face.
I panicked.
Chloe didn't say anything in response to that. She just laughed a soft, husky sound.
I'm not worried about how it looks for me. I'm worried about how it looks for you, I said.
I heard her sharp inhale, felt her fingers tighten in my hair. When I looked up at her face, she looked bewildered. How could she not know how infatuated I'd become? I was sure she could see it every time I looked at her. As always, I wanted to grip her from behind, spank her when she made a sound, pull her hair when I came, bite her breast again, drag my teeth over her spine, pinch the back of her thigh, and then smooth it over with the softest touch. But I also wanted to watch her sleep, and then watch her wake up and see me, and gauge her feelings from that first unfiltered reaction. I was starting to see that this wasn't just sex, and it wasn't just working something out of my system. Sex was the fastest route to the deeper possession I needed. I was falling in love with her, and falling too fast and hard to easily find any footing. It was scary as fuck. I decided to give her the truth. I need another night. She sucked in a breath and stared, and only then did it occur to me that she could be feeling something very different than I was. Feel free to say no, I just... I ran a hand through my hair and looked up at her.
I just would really like to be with you again tonight.
Greedy, aren't you?
You have no idea.
Upstairs in her room, between her sheets, and with her body coiled tight and sweet, sucking me in, everything else slipped away. Her scent and noises clouded my brain, made my thrusting erratic and hard. She was drenched, all of her. Skin outside and flesh inside, slick and pulling me deeper. Her legs clamped around my hips and she flipped me over with a laugh, riding me with her back arched away and her head thrown back, fingers digging in my abdomen, anchoring herself in me. Her skin shone and I sat up underneath her, needing to feel the slide of her chest over mine as she slithered and slid. I pushed her back again, hovering over her once more this time with her legs on my shoulders and her mouth quivering as she struggled to find words. Her nails dug into my back and I hissed, telling her more and yes and wanting her to mark me, to leave something that would still be there tomorrow. She came once, and then again, and once more, and pulled at her hair looking wild and untamed. I collapsed on her, incoherently stringing words together as I came, trying to tell her what we both already knew, that whatever happened outside of this room was irrelevant. XVI. We slowly returned from orbit, and with limbs tangled in the sheets, talked for hours about our day, about the meeting with Gugliotti, about his dinner and my night out with friends. We talked about the broken desk and that I only packed enough underwear for a week, so he couldn't ruin any more. We talked about everything, except the havoc he was wreaking on my heart. I ran a finger down his chest, and he stilled it with his hand, bringing it to his lips and saying,